Hello and welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook. I'm back this week. Apologies, I can't even remember why I was absent last week, but I'm sure there was a very good reason. Is there a good reason, however, for the next person's absence of, I'm pretty sure, over a year ago? Calvin Robinson, nice to have you on the podcast, mate. It has been long time.
Oh my gosh, I'm so pleased to be back. It's unbelievable. I can't remember the last podcast I was on.
How many updates did your Skype need?
I forgot I had it installed. It just popped up. Yep. So it must be updating itself in the background.
Yeah, more than likely. It's a very strange time in games at the moment, and we've got some listener questions that are going to kind of hone in on that a little bit. But I remember, I think I went out. That's what I was going to talk to you, because the thing is, right, this is a games podcast, Calv, obviously, as you know, but things have changed.
I've heard.
It's kind of also a food podcast, right?
Oh, gosh.
And before we get into the games, because I'm pretty sure that our route to fame has become talking about food at this point.
And I do love a fry-up, Adam.
Okay, good. Well, when you say fry-up, not like Adam Carroll's fry-up, right?
I like a full English.
Okay, that's fine. Standard fry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you out of interest, do you actually fry it, or are you like me and it goes in the oven these days, you know, or do you actually still like a fry up?
Oh, bloody hell, that's a good question. I do like to fry the bacon.
Okay, yeah.
But
yeah,
everything else goes in the oven.
What's your position on fried bread?
So, yeah, good. That's a good idea. So when you've got bacon done or whatever you've fried, you put the bread in, yeah.
Definitely. Okay, no, that's fine. The juices. Yeah. I haven't had fried bread for so long because it's, obviously with my heart condition, it's not really ideal to literally fry the bread. But,
every now and then you can have a treat, can't you?
I think so. What I was going to ask you, though, is, so I went to a food chain, okay? And it's a very, very popular food chain, but not one I've actually frequented. So I have no strong opinion of them, but it is a food chain that, because you're London-based, that is probably one, I imagine when I say the name, you might roll your eyes.
Uh-oh.
Nando's.
Oh, Cheeky Nando's, oh yes.
I was surprised there wasn't on the menu something called the Cheeky Nando's.
Yeah, like, I love me a Nando's.
Is that... Okay, that's good, because I thought it was all right, actually. My wife is on a diet, and she just wanted some chicken, and it's, you know, because chicken's decent in terms of that respect, and I thought it was all right. You know, I had a bit of spicy rice and a corn on the cob and some chicken thigh, and it was...
You know what you're going to get at Nando's?
Yeah, do you know?
Some McCain's oven chips and a nice piece of chicken. Sorted.
McCain's oven chips.
What? Yeah, they actually use McCain's.
Do they really?
Yeah.
We went for the spicy rice, to be fair. So we went for medium, okay. And I wish I went
hotter.
You're
a bit more middle class than me, Adam.
Is that right? Is it? Okay, fair play. But I forgot what I was going to say now. I was going to ask, with Nando's, right, I don't know if you've been recently... They're all wearing T-shirts, okay, to sort of advertise the brand. Obviously, they work in Nando's. They've got Nando's T-shirts on. And on the back of one of them, they had... So, you know the Oasis song, Don't Look Back in Anger?
Oh, yeah.
So, on the back of them, this one girl and this one chap had Don't Look Back in Hanger. And the H was in a bracket. Is that a thing?
I think that's when you're hangry.
My
sister is
famous
for this. She gets hangry all the time. When someone's so hungry that they're angry.
Okay. Oh, the Snickers advert does this, doesn't it?
It's just a pun, isn't it? You know, I hate bad puns.
See, but I didn't get why they didn't just go with "Don't Look Back in Hunger" because it still works.
I know you love Oasis.
That's right. That's what I mean. I was obviously very, very offended by the misuse of Noel's lyrics. But we should talk about... That's the food segment done. Normally, it's sort of towards the middle. I don't think we got any food questions this week, so. Bit disappointed, so listeners do send in the food questions. But Calv, I don't want to ask you what you've played over the last year. What have you played that you want to talk about? Like,
I've been playing a bit of The Division 2, but I've been playing it on the PS4.
Okay,
and I love Division 1. I've got an endgame character of Division 1, but on the PC.
Yeah,
very, very different experience. I don't know, I can't speak for everyone my age, Adam, but it's tough, isn't it? Playing shooters on the bloody PlayStation with a joystick.
It is actually a hard game. I think it's a hard game. It's designed for you. I can't remember. Is it three player or four player? I can't remember. Wow, I am getting old. I can't remember a month ago. but I think it's quite a difficult game, isn't it? Like the shooting, it feels like it's designed for other people to complement your skills.
Yeah, so I played it a bit solo and I got frustrated, but then I've had friends jump in and it's much better. It's a game you have to play with people, I think. It's not quite a MMO, but it's got that kind of vibe to it, hasn't it?
I've heard, and I haven't got there, that actually the end game, they add like a whole new faction and new skill trees and everything, and it's quite significant, but I tailed off I really enjoyed it, but I tailed off really quickly to the point where it's like, I'm not going to get there. And I don't know... I mean, good on them. You know what I mean? For having such a... But like, why are you playing on PS4 out of interest? That's a shock.
Because my friend had it on PS4, so I thought I'd, you know, join in and play co-op. But it's I find it tough. I honestly think I'm getting too old to play shooters on the console. With a mouse and keyboard, I'm fine. But yeah, I do like the end game in these games. I think in number one, it unlocks a whole different experience. You know, you're chasing to get your gear set, so you want to be the best of the best in the Dark Zone. Haven't quite got there in Dark Zone, in Division 2 yet, but I do like that kind of where it changes pace completely.
I just find some of these, I mean, it's very popular, isn't it, the loot shooter. Like, I don't know if you, did you play Anthem at all?
No.
Okay, that surprises me. I'd have thought you'd be all over that, but then again, it wasn't exactly received very well, so I suppose it's off-putting. But like,
well, to be honest, I've only just gotten time to start playing games again. Last year or so, I was so busy at school. So
what is there anything? Because that is this year at least. So you're not. It's not like you're that behind. At least it's a current this year game.
Yeah.
Is there anything like you've missed then in terms of you've been so busy? Like, is there any like one or two games you're like, oh, like Apex Legends?
Legends. I did play. I love that.
Yeah, I was going to say. So I knew you'd be all over that.
Yeah. I love those games. I was in Smith's today and I saw loads of Fortnite merch as well. I didn't even know they were making them. They've got all the skins that you can buy.
You've got Roblox merch now, mate. I saw it on telly the other day. Yeah,
Roblox is not a real game.
I thought Roblox was one of those that skirted the legal boundaries, but it literally was on TV advertising. Yeah, is there anything big that like you're like, I've got to find the time?
Yeah, Mortal Kombat 11. Okay, I have just acquired that, so I need to find the time to sit down and actually play that. I've heard mixed reviews about that as well, in that it's supposed to be really hard on single player to get through the ladders.
Yeah, but the actual sort of story stuff is fantastic. It's probably the best fighting game campaign. It's ridiculous in exactly the right way, if you get what I mean.
Right.
Like, you know, its violence is... Because I wondered if like the industry would have turned on Mortal Kombat, because... things progress, whether you like them or not. The industry is what it is now. And I wondered if people would be a bit like, this is too far. But when I actually played it, I was like, it's so stupid. Like, it would be difficult to be offended by how... I mean, I don't know how they come up with it. That's perhaps...
I know what you mean. And I don't know if they will be able to continue to do this for much longer. I've seen people, you know, on Twitter, we've talked about Twitter extensively over the years, but people talk about, can you get away with sexifying a character in Mortal Kombat these days? And yes you can. That's how it started. That's how it's always been. I mean, they were on the cover of, what were they on the cover of? Some lads mag on the first release of Mortal Kombat. It's gore, it's over the top.
Yeah.
It's sexual. It's all of those things to the extreme. It's ironic. It's not trying to be.
It's ridiculous, is what it is.
Yeah.
Like it's. I don't. You know. There's a question again about E3 that I mentioned, and one of the things I will talk about when we get there is I do think video games are in a really strange spot.
Yeah.
And stuff like Mortal Kombat. Like, to be honest with you, I don't know what they would do next. They tend to do Mortal Kombat then an Injustice game. I suppose they could do another Injustice game. I can't remember how 2 ends.
I'd love them to do a Marvel version.
Oh man, that would be someone's
Avengers Combat.
But there hasn't been. Have there been any Marvel games? I mean, there's that Iron Man VR game.
Yeah.
But
no.
That's
no
just quite surprising. Well, there's that Square Enix apparently have got the Avengers game or Marvel game, but no one's seen anything of it. So, is there any other sort of big games?
I'm really, really, really looking forward to Crash Team Racing. That was
really
my childhood game.
Oh, was it?
Loved
okay, so that was one that
so
I missed.
The multi-tap, so you could play with four players on the PlayStation. Yeah.
Wow. I was Mario Kart, and I didn't. I must have played it. I feel like it's one where I must have played this game, but I have no memory of it whatsoever. Like,
did
I owned
you play the
console.
Crash Remake?
Yeah,
it
was. I mean, it was well done, but like those games are hard.
They are bloody hard, aren't they? Really I did play hard. It as well myself on the Switch. I thought this is actually a lot tougher than I remember.
Yeah, they're hard games.
Games have gotten easy.
It's yeah, Yeah, they have. Some games have gotten easier. I'm trying to think what it was. I've been playing. It might even be up on the site by the time people hear us chatting. But I was playing Resident Evil 4 for our Switch Report feature. Now, of course, that game's it's a Stonewall classic. I'm not going to pretend it isn't. But by God, like, games have got easier over the years because you can die in the first 5 minutes of this game. Like, you have to stop and aim, and you have to be really precise in your aim. And the enemy AI just legs it at you and assaults you. And it's like, oh. Games have definitely changed. I mean, I'm still happy that I can play games and they're not killing me every minute. I mean, I like the FromSoft games, but I still, the eras have been kind to games.
And I suppose it depends on what kind of game you're playing. With the story games, you don't mind having your handheld a bit, do you?
No.
Like, I want to get through all of Bioshock Infinite to see the amazing story, but Sonic the Hedgehog, for example, wouldn't be the same.
So. No. I mean, I've been playing. I'm just going to quickly just sort of jump through a few games because the chaps talked about it last week. But Rage 2, and there seems to be two schools of thought on that. One is that you're loving it, and that's like Adam Carroll seemed to be really, really enjoying it. And the other is with Chris White, who give it a 7. I don't know if I'd have been 7 out of 10 with it. Have you seen. Here's one for you, Cal. If you say you've been kind of out of it, have you seen any of the marketing around Rage 2?
Just the Danny Dyer voiceover.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
But it's been all kind of bombast and kind of like, look at me. That game doesn't exist. I don't know. Oh. That game is not the game I'm playing. The shooting's good. The shooting's id Soft good. The open world is like, I don't know if I did something wrong, but I left the tutorial area, which is quite promising, like lots of shooting, lots of close quarters stuff, and then I just had to walk across a barren wasteland for like 5 to 10 minutes and nothing happened. And I was like, this is interesting.
Does it feel very serious?
It doesn't feel as chaotic as it was made out to be. Like, I don't know if this is a reference that anyone will get, but a show I loved growing up was The Young Ones with Rick Mayall and Adrian Emerson and all that lot, and and Rage 2 thinks it's as anarchic and chaotic as The Young Ones, whereas what it actually is as anarchic and chaotic as Rick from The Young Ones thinks he is.
Right.
And I don't know, I'm not going to carry on, I don't think, because it's not bad. It's not a bad game, but it's just fine. And on that same note, Team Sonic Racing.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to sound harsh.
Uh-oh.
I don't get why this exists. Because...
Did you not enjoy the first one, then?
Yeah, no, what Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed. That's fantastic. Superb game.
Although it had a ridiculous name.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous name. This... I don't know, it's got a cool idea. So the idea basically is that you play in teams of three. So if, say, you, myself and Chris were playing on a team, and you come first, I come fourth, and he comes seventh, you add up the points from those three placements, and that goes towards your total. So it's kind of cool, and like if you're in first place, you create like a big yellow slipstream that I can go behind and then get like a super burst. And also, if I get an item, I can send you the item, or you can send me them. And if say, we all send you three of the same item, it makes that item like a times three, like a super-powered version. So there's some cool team stuff in it. The trouble with the items is you can't tell what any of them are. Like, you know, in Mario Kart, you get like a red shell, and you know what a red shell does. You get like the lightning bolt. In this, every time I get them, I'm like, I don't know what that is. Is that a missile or is that a shield? And it's really weird about how...
And is that a lack of familiarity or is the iconography just terrible?
I think it's both. I think I would get it, but I think the iconography is poor and really confusing in that respect. But the thing is, like, I played it on PS4, and it's fine. Like, it's a sort of 7 out of 10 game. It's a decent game. On Switch, it's half the frame rate. And I was talking to Mikhail about this. Like, I think a game like that should be 60 frames. Like, it's a racing game.
Yeah.
On Switch, it's 30. And if you hadn't played the PS4 version, you'd probably be okay, but I had. And so it was immediately like, wow, this is slow. And the thing is on that console, you also have Mario Kart 8,
yep.
which looks gorgeous and runs at 60 frames a second. And I think that they should have done that thing of, you know, some games like on PS4 Pro are offer the performance or graphics option. I think
they
should,
they unlock more specs, don't they, to certain games.
So I think they should have done that with, because they have done it, they haven't, but a game, like I think Darksiders did it on Switch, where you could have like a better frame rate or better graphics. And I feel like
Mortal Kombat did it as well, didn't they?
Yeah, more than likely. Yeah. I mean, that game I'm sure runs at 60, because I just can't imagine they would not have it do that. But this... I've been trying to keep current myself, but what I found myself doing is going back to a 2016 game in Dishonored 2.
Oh yeah, why?
That game got massively rave reviews, like incredible reviews, and I did not get on with it at all. I got less than an hour in, bounced off it, and never touched it again. And we've talked about this on the podcast, and everyone seems to be feeling this kind of gaming funk at the moment, where nothing's kind of igniting the fires. Mm-hmm. And so I sort of thought, I need a single player game that I'm sure will be good. And I thought, maybe I should give it another try. 7 hours later, I don't know what the hell was wrong with me in 2016. This game is incredible. Like, it is, it looks and runs like ass, but the actual game is so good. The powers
sometimes
you get.
Sometimes you need that though, don't you?
You do, but like, it makes me think. And I don't know if that's what I've been missing. Maybe some of this entertainment, so to speak, has been too easy. But Dishonored 2 really makes me think. Like, I just unlocked the power of possession, where you can like possess rats, and that gives you other areas you can get to. So now every time I enter an area, I sort of stop and I'm looking around, really taking in this world that's been created, and going, how can I approach this? And all of a sudden, all the articles I remember seeing about that game are like, I get it. I absolutely get it, and it's a really wonderful feeling, and I can't get enough of it. But I'm also, because it's like a 2016 game, I'm just taking it totally at my own pace. I feel no pressure to rush through it. I can just play this game I'm really enjoying. Like I say, I'm quite surprised at how badly it runs on an Xbox One X, because I've been told that's the best console version, and yet there's some weird frame smoothing or something going on that it just really is not a smooth-looking game. Some of the textures look horrendous when you get close to them. You know, 3 years is a long time, I suppose, in you know, visual improvements. But I've been told it didn't actually sell that well, because I remember, I think this was around the time Bethesda weren't sending review code out early to people, so it sort of didn't get covered until later. And
well, also, I find a lot of these games come out back-to-back, bang, 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 and then all of a sudden you have a lull. And I think when you have a lull like this, it's nice to go back and play one that needs a bit of time and a bit of investment to get into it.
I mean, I want to say that 2016... was that the year that Doom... the Doom remake, reboot thing come out? I want to...
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I can't remember, but I just... There must have been... I don't know, I really don't know what... I'm blown away by Dishonored 2, and like I say, it doesn't look the best, it doesn't run the best, and yet... I mean, I've only played two games I'd consider better this year, and this is just like I'm meticulously going around the levels and hoovering up all the things that you know, because everything's a puzzle. Like, you know, there's things called runes that let you upgrade your powers, and if you haven't played it, this is going to sound super weird, but you basically got.
I played the first one.
Okay, I think the heart was in the first one, wasn't it? Where you could get the heart out and it beats in your hand. I'm sure it was in the first one.
Yeah,
and. So it like shows you where these runes are, but every one of them feels like this cool puzzle, and like there are black market shops in this game, and every one of them in every level can be broken into in a certain way. And I did my first one of them the other night, and I felt super bad, because the way in was that you found these people. I mean, I suppose gentle spoilers for a 2016 game, but you find these two people that are trying to break in via blowing up a brick wall. You take them out, and you overhear them saying, we need one more bottle of this to blow the wall. You got the bottle because you've already found it, and you blow the wall up. And I didn't know it was going to do this, but it killed the shop owner, because obviously it's such a small little shop. I felt bloody awful. Like, this is a game that doesn't look visually realistic. It doesn't run that well, but yet I felt awful. And what I found myself is that I'm really disappointed with myself if I kill someone, because I'm trying not to, because these guards are just guards, and somehow this world is so well realised, it's made me not want to kill people. I want to stealth, and I'm notoriously bad at stealth in games, especially first person stealth, but yet I'm really taking my time to, like, I'm almost to the point where there are certain sections I'm save scumming, because I know I didn't have to take that life. There was one bit where these two guys, just because I just cocked it up, and they just both come running at me, and sometimes you panic, and you've always got the tools to escape and hide and kind of reset, but I just panicked and killed them. It was just easier to hit up right trigger, and I felt really, I was so angry with myself, like, Jesus, you know, you could have done that. I was so angry, and I thought, you know, I don't know. It was just...
Is there an achievement for getting through the game without killing people?
Probably a silent run. I bet there is. I've been recommended that, like, basically play your game as you want to play it and then go back and there's a few things I've been told, like go and watch the world record speed run stuff, and because I've been, that's, must admit, that's something I've been watching recently, is speed runs of games, and I find that stuff fascinating. I always have.
I watched a playthrough of Bioshock Infinite without the combat, so it was it made it like a film. That was really good,
because like there's recently, I mean, I don't know when people are going to listen to this, but there was you know, Awesome Games Done Quick thing. They recently did, like, it was called Frame Fatales, and it was all female, like, speedrunners trying to shine a light on a community that, you know, like, there are women that do this too.
Okay.
And I actually found them way better to watch, because a lot of the... Well, maybe you just got lucky, but they were sort of explaining the game as well. So rather than just, like, I'm going to smash through this in an hour and a half, they'd smash through it in an hour and a half, but they'd explain, right... So, like, one of them was doing Super Meat Boy. And every time, like, that was another reason I watched it. But like, every time a new new mechanic came in, they were like, and then they had this mechanic. And it's like, so if you'd never seen this game, you would actually be understanding what the game is rather than just, oh, someone smashing through it really quickly. And I found it really fascinating.
And it's like your favourite game of all time, anyway.
It actually is in the top five, I think, yeah. Like, it is genuine in the top five. Is there anything else you've been playing before we get onto listener correspondence?
just Star Trek Online.
Listener correspondence is then, Calf. No, I can't believe you're still playing that, man. I didn't even know that game was still going.
Yes, 10 years on. But the Star Trek Discovery, the TV show, they brought that into the game as well. I love the TV show. The second season was amazing, I think.
Wait, so there's a current TV show as well?
Star Trek, yeah. Oh, come on, Adam.
I saw an advert on telly for the movie the other day, and I thought it was a third movie.
Mate, did you know they're bringing Picard back? There's a new Jean-Luc Picard Star Trek TV show coming out.
But starring someone else, presumably.
No. Patrick Stewart.
Mind you, he really hasn't aged, has he? So
I mean, he's been old for decades.
That's what I mean. He kind of looks the same, so...
Yeah.
Well, fair enough, mate. I mean, I can't believe you're still playing that, but I mean, why not? Why not, if you enjoy it? I'm not here to judge.
I've invested so many man-hours into it.
Well, that's the thing.
I can't quit now.
No, that would be, yeah, that's a fair point. Right, let's get into listener correspondence then.
Let's.
Idiot, that's not mine, I'm not saying that. This is his name or her name on Twitter, @idiot_GG. crafting systems in video games. Aren't you getting a bit tired of them? Can we finally retire them? Seems like they're just there to keep you occupied. Calf, thoughts?
No, absolutely not. I love a good crafting system. The amount of hours I've spent crafting things, and what I love is one that actually gives you a unique stamp. So not just a tick box exercise to make something, but one that says, like, this was created by you. It reminds me of a game I played years and years and years ago called Neocrom, and this is one where it was MMO, but each person could only choose one crafting skill lane, and I was like it doesn't matter what it was, but you needed friends who could do the other parts, so they all combined together to make an item, and it would say your name on the item. I love that kind of thing. The personal touch.
See, I'm with you there, actually. I like it when it feels, I don't want to say right, because it's in the eye of the beholder, but feels meaningful.
Yeah.
Like, in Days Gone, for example, you are just, like, you pick up the same six or seven, maybe not even that many, materials, and you just open a radial menu and hold a button down, and it crafts it. And to me, that does feel a bit like busy work. But then saying that, like, in Tomb Raider, the first reboot of the three...
Oh, yeah.
It did the same sort of thing, where you just, like, press... Was that the second one?
You had to make it arrows, didn't you?
Yeah, was that in the very first one of reboot or not?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah, but you literally, like, just held a button and it did them.
Yeah, on the campfire, I had to hold X and it would, yeah.
Yeah, I think with the second reboot or the second game in the reboot, they literally had it so you could be running around and just hold up or something like that. But I still enjoyed it. So there are... I think it depends on the
Minecraft.
Game. Well, yes, Minecraft, obviously. But I think it depends on the game. Like it.
Yeah.
I think if it feels shoehorned, Horizon Zero Dawn, what I don't like is in crafting games or games with crafting in where, say, you have to break branches off as a resource, there's like a super long animation that you have to watch every time. I don't mind it.
Some games that feel like the whole entire game is a crafting system, like No Man's Sky, for example.
Yeah, that game. I mean, I've been meaning to check it back in with that if forever. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, crafting. I don't think every game needs crafting. I will say that much. And the game, like Days Gone, which feels half like it's trying to act like the real world, and then half like it doesn't.
Yeah,
I think maybe not. Thomas usually sends us in loads of questions, and he's done us proud this week. Let's start with the easiest one. Hottest thing you've ever eaten, and have you tried this? And there is a food question. The picture he sent in was basically a picture of, I'm going to say this name wrong, Sriracha? I tried. It's that very popular hot sauce. Sriracha?
Oh, yeah.
Sriracha?
I don't know how you pronounce it, but you can get fries with that in one of my local restaurants.
I haven't tried it. What's the hottest thing you've ever eaten?
Me personally, I was about 14, 15. I think it was just a normal chili, but I wasn't expecting it.
An actual chili or the meal?
Yeah, an actual chili.
Okay.
And I remember it was actually one of my visits to London, and I just bit into this chili, and it was the hottest thing I'd ever taken. You know when your whole face is burning, you're like, where's the water? And it was killing me, but it was just a normal chili. I don't know, I can't explain it, but...
Yeah, but did you say you were a kid, though, at the time?
Yeah.
See, the thing about spice, I can't remember, Cav. Do you like spicy food, don't you?
Oh, I love spice. I have a medium at Nando's, but I get the extra hot sauce on the side as well.
See, that's what I should have done, because the medium didn't quite get there for me. It was nice, but it wasn't quite... I wanted a bit more. You want that little bit of sweat on your top lip, just a little bit.
Yeah.
The thing about spice, though, is that the more you eat it, the more you become accustomed to it, isn't it?
Right, yeah.
So, like, the first curry you ever have, you're like, oh, my God, this is so hot. And then, you know, 5-6 years later, you're having 10 times hotter curry. So the current favourite in the cook household, it's probably the hottest thing we've ever had, is, do you know, I think she won one of the bake-offs. Was it Nadia?
I have no idea about bake-off things.
I mean, I don't either, but I'm sure that's where I know her name. But she did really well. She had TV programs, and she seemed like a really nice woman, and she released a cookbook, and a lot of it is that sort of food. And she did a lambuna.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God, is it good.
Love a lambuna.
I don't know if it's like the way Claire cooks it, or if she just gets the rest. I mean, the recipe, if you like hot food, I would urge anyone... And do you know what? I will. I don't know. Are you allowed to tweet a picture of a cookery book if it shows the whole recipe? Is that a thing you can? I don't know. But like, it's a good book anyway. But this is exceptional. It is such a nice hot curry, and probably the hottest thing I've ever eaten. I've never eaten a chili or anything like that.
Oh, actually, one more thing I've had as well. If listeners remember, Rukure.
Yes.
His dad makes the best Sri Lankan lamb chops I've ever tasted in my life. Oh, they're to die for, but they are so hot. You can't just sit there and finish it in one sitting.
I tell you what, there's a Chinese restaurant near us that did, it's called Batong Chicken. I don't know if that means anything, but it's just a... And again, the thing is, when we first got it, it was like, oh, shit, this is hot. And now, like, Claire still has that, and it's like, it's not as hot as usual, and I think we've just got used to it. In fact, I tweeted a picture a while ago of a packet of crisps. I think they're Walkers, they're like those Max Strong, you know, things, and they're chicken wing and some sort of spice, and they are seriously hot as well. I do like spicy food. I really do. I can't think... Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, we tend to eat a lot of spicy food in our house now.
Do the kids like it as well, then?
My youngest really likes hot food. My eldest likes it, but my youngest is a slightly more refined palate, but he really likes spicy food. He digs into that. He loves it. I mean, we all love the lambuna, and it is quite hot, so you've got to have a bit of yogurt with that just to give you the opportunity. But Thomas continues with a difficult question. What advice would you give to someone who wants to scribble about games these days? It seems a very crowded space.
I take it by scribble, he means he wants to write, not do drawings.
Do drawings is a good... That you could just do. There might be a market for that.
Well, we've had some quite popular video games artists in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
Sending us nice work.
Yeah, but I think he means you want to get into the industry, basically. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
what to say about this.
Well, I don't want to just be the guy that goes, don't, because...
but don't.
But maybe, I mean...
Right. It depends what... Right. Do you want to write about games because you love games, or do you want to make a living out of this?
Yes, that is a great point.
If you want to make a living out of it, I'd recommend doing something else.
Have it as a side gig. If you're good enough and can be noticed and get in the right, I don't want to say it, but if you know the right people, so that can be a big help. And I'm not going to say that's all it takes because it isn't, but it does help. And that's the same for any job, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think age comes into it as well. I think if you've got, if you're in a privileged position, if you live at home or you've got other people supporting you, it's easy to break into because it takes a while to get into this space. And you're going to have to, you know, slog it for a while. But if you can do that, great. If you can't, just do it for the love of it and just write every now and then while you're doing something else, I think.
Absolutely. Just get a blog. If you really want to, just do. Like, there is no one in the world that can stop you from getting a game you've played and writing your opinion down on it on a blog or a website or whatever you want to do. And it's good practice, if nothing else. Like, even if you don't end up, like, you know, even if you want to make a living from it, and that's not perhaps the way, but it's always good to have some form of portfolio. And it's good practice, you know?
And then you can still go to industry events and, you know, meet other people and get some inside information and all that kind of stuff and get, you know, copies of the game before they come out. You can get all of the positive side of it without, even if you're not making a living from it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
there's many benefits to writing about games.
To be honest, the one thing that I personally wish I did sooner, and that I would, when anyone's ever asked me, and we get asked a few times like this sort of question, one thing I would always say is, do not think I am going to write about games and that's all you're going to do. I would so recommend that you get into, if not perhaps being on camera, because not everyone can do that, but understanding and learning about video editing, I think that is a really important thing to do, because that is, you know, the amount of people I know nowadays that they don't say, oh yeah, I read a review and such on Rage 2, but they say, I watched a couple of videos on Rage 2. Yeah. And again, that is, to be honest with you, perhaps that's just as crowded now, like trying to stand out. Like, what?
The barriers
to entry have been lowered. Like, even when we started doing video here, if I remember correctly, I think it was Halparsh that ended up sponsoring our video content for a while, because I remember speaking to them and getting a video capture unit from them. And I remember it was like 720p. That's the best it could do.
Oh, yeah.
But back then, it was so expensive to get anything that could capture video. It was a huge barrier to entry. Now, you can go and buy like a Blue Yeti or a Snowball, and you've got an absolutely fine microphone for YouTube, and a Elgato or an Avamedia. Avamedia ones are quite useful, especially if you're just doing it from your home, because they can connect up to your system and you just whack a button and it starts recording. That's all kind of affordable tech now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if you're doing anything like that, you've got to have a niche. You've got to be either really good at a particular game or have a lot of time to invest in it. Or, you know, you've got to have something that sells you apart from everyone else, because everyone and their 13-year-old kid's doing it now.
I mean, the other thing I'd say is be very prepared for kicking. It is not fun. Like, in terms of a freelance thing, for example, it's not fun having an editor rip your work to pieces. That is an awful feeling, but it is their job as much as it's your job to get it right. And to take that on the chin and say, right, I'm going to learn from this, and don't get sort of shitty and angry about someone saying, not because they're never going to go, you're not good enough, but they're going to go, this is what you should. Like, there's pieces. I remember a piece I wrote for Mark Diver at Waypoint. Well, it was Vice then. Well, it's Vice again now, actually. But he made my article better. Like, I'm not ashamed. Well, I'm not ashamed to say that he made my article. He didn't change it, but he made it better. And that's
a learning process, isn't it?
It is. That's an editor's job.
When you talk about getting a kicking, I think you've also got to be prepared for the critics of the critics.
Yep.
So the actual people who love the game that you don't like, or the other way around, they're going to hate on you, and you've got to be prepared to take that on the chin.
There's a lot of that sort of stuff. Like,
Who paid you?
That's the one thing that's always just like,
I wish someone would pay me.
That's what I mean. Like, it's like, who paid you? Fucking no one. Like, that's the problem. That's the issue here. No one. It's like, if only, you know, I mean, you see so many freelance journalists in Ferraris these days, you know, it's And that's the thing as well. Thomas is spot on. It is a crowded space, massively. There are probably... And actually, I think it's getting harder because sites are disappearing. Money's not... It's not much money in journalism in gaming.
No.
There's a lot of that money is kind of on the publisher side. Like, there's a lot of publishers with a lot of money, but that's nothing to do with gaming journalism. And it's really... So for you to get a gig, so to speak, with someone as a freelancer, you kind of got to be excellent, deliver it on time, early, possibly the copy, and like be super reliable, which is, doesn't sound like asking a lot, but even then there are probably 40 people competing for that slot, and there are only so many editors who can pay you to review or preview or write about a game. Like, it's a really competitive space. So I guess to sum it up, the advice would be just do it. Like, don't quit your job. Don't go, right, that's it, I'm quitting my job, I'm going to go off and be a, I don't know, elite games journalist. I would say just get a free blog, write a review now and again, see how you feel, get your words out there, write opinion pieces, just do your thing and keep an eye out. I'm not a huge fan of social media. We talked about Twitter before, but I would say it is a necessary for networking and it is a necessary for seeing when opportunities arise, because a lot of times editors will go on Twitter and say, hey, look, I'm trying to broaden my field of freelancers. Do you do this? Here's my contact, and that's your opportunity to wow them. I mean,
absolutely.
What else can we say, really? Just good luck, but don't take it all, because leave some for us. the other question Thomas is sending in is a really, really interesting one. Next week we may do a kind of full-on, I don't know, predictions cast for E3. I can't even remember. It feels like there wasn't an E3 last year, but it definitely was. But some would say there feels like there isn't an E3 this year. And Thomas is asking, how is the team feeling about E3 this year? Although traditionally it's thought of as Christmas for gamers, this year feels like that disappointing Christmas where we all agreed to cut back and just do little presents. It's really timely that Calv's here because he has been to E3 many times.
Mate. I used to go to E3 every year. It's the highlight of my year. I absolutely love
this
E3. It is Christmas for gamers. I think of it more as Disneyland for gamers. That first E3, you can never beat that experience. Just walking in there and just all of the games are there and all of the people are there. And you just, lining up to play games next to the people who have created your favourite games. Love it.
But E3 this year, all of the people won't be there. So what do we know? We know Sony aren't there. At the time of recording, there were rumours that they're going to announce a release date for The Last of Us, I think, next week. There is a Death Stranding trailer or something coming up. So they are doing big-ish stuff, but they aren't at E3. Yeah. That's a massive thing. We've talked about it on the podcast. It's huge that Sony have said not this year. But also, they're kind of going down the Nintendo route of just doing their pre-produced video things.
Last year, didn't they just go to Paris Games Week instead of... Or was that Gamescom they skipped?
Someone skipped Gamescom. I think it was. I can't remember. I think it was something like that last year. So Sony are picking and choosing. But they've also said, look, it's no secret anymore. They're making a PS... Well, they haven't said PS5. I'm going to go ahead and make a bold prediction that it's going to be called the PlayStation 5. Maybe it won't. I wonder if all these companies are going to start doing the Apple thing of, this is the PlayStation.
Gosh, I hope not.
I have this funny feeling. But Sony aren't going to be there.
Call of Duty is going to be Call of Duty Modern Warfare,
and God of War did it. God of War is just God of War, and there's another game that did it as well. I mean, Battlefield 1. I mean, there's some silly... Let's be honest, games are silly. There's some silly game names.
If we do have a PlayStation 5, what will the new Xbox be called?
Well, this is
the
thing.
The Xbox 2,
they,
can it?
They can't call it the Xbox 2, man.
Xbox One was ridiculous enough.
Well, so that's the thing. So Microsoft, I'm pretty sure, are going to announce what their next thing is. Like, they've been talking around it for 2 years about how there's all this... Google are over there doing their cloud thing. I've actually completely forgotten the name of that thing now. Stadia.
Oh, gosh.
Stadia. Google Stadia. So they're over there doing that thing. Sony are saying we're going to make... I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's one of those things I want to see personally. The fact they've said that basically they can have things loading just instantly because of the SSDs. I mean, they'll be using those... I've forgotten what they're called. I've literally just reviewed one. The tiny little ones that go in... they go right on the motherboard. They look like a RAM stick. I've forgotten the name of the bloody things.
What, some kind of cache?
No, no, the actual SSD. They're like, they look like a RAM stick, and they screw directly into the motherboard. I can't remember. I can't remember what they are. Go on, God is a Geek. I reviewed one. I can't remember, listeners. But so they will be able to load things super quick. And of course, because you're designing for a closed system, again, you can do that sort of stuff. So that's cool. They'll be doing other things other than that. They'll still be supporting PSVR. They've already said that. Nintendo are going to do Nintendo. They're going to, I would think, come out and they're going to say, here's Animal Crossing, here's more Mario Maker, it's out this month. You know, they're going to do that thing. How are we feeling about E3, though, the question is, this year?
It's a harder one for me because I've been out of it for a while, so I haven't kept totally up to date with what's going on. But I still look forward to it. I still look forward to, well, not everything being released at once, but there's that time period where all the news comes out.
Yeah.
You know, they all try to get the up on each other and release it the day before E3 or the day before these days.
Yeah.
But still, that period of the year is amazing for gamers. And I think it still will be, even if big players like Sony decide not to be there, they'll still have announcements and they'll still have little leaks of this and that.
Because Xbox are there, but they're... So, like, you know how EA do their EA Play thing, and although it's not technically E3 because it's before, it's still part of E3. And Microsoft are now right ahead of the E3 kicking off as well, like way before it. Well, not way before it, before it. There's a couple of rumours that do excite me. So there is a heavy rumour that Fable 4 is going to be announced, or a new Fable.
That I did see.
Yeah, that's been heavily rumoured for years because Playground Games, who make Forza Horizon, literally staffed up with the job advert saying to make an RPG. Now, you put two and two together, you say Microsoft owned Playground Games, and they're making an RPG, Fable 4. Even as someone who's not a huge fan of the series, I would be well up for seeing what those got. I mean, you're a Fable fan, aren't you, if I remember correctly?
Mate, I played the, not the remake, but the Xbox One backwards compatibility version the other day. It doesn't look great, but it's still amazing. I love Fable. So yes, even if it doesn't have Peter Molyneux involved, I will happily play a new Fable game.
But if you remove Peter from the Fable, well you have to because he's not going to be doing them. But if you take him out of them, a lot of the problems with Fable was, you know, and I wonder sometimes if this was part of the issue with the series, is that because he overpromised so much.
Yeah,
you know, if you take that out and just say, look, these guys, like Forza Horizon are some of my favourite racing games. They are phenomenal. If you say they're making an RPG, all right, that's not what they're known for. I'd be well up for seeing it. I mean, we know it would look good.
Absolutely.
Another rumour is that Nintendo are going to announce The Witcher 3 for Switch. And I mean, it doesn't personally excite me because I've played that game on PC, PS4 and Xbox One. I love The Witcher 3.
Ooh.
I don't know how that would look. I'll be honest with you. That's what I'm left thinking, is how the hell would The Witcher 3 look on Switch?
I feel like that's what the Switch is, though. It's
X
game for Switch. That's
true.
What it is now.
True.
It's all the games we've loved and played, but for Switch.
That's true. But I mean, that would be cool because there are a lot of people who just play Switch, and maybe I look
nice
at it and
concept.
Go, how would that look? But it'd still be kind of cool to be able to play The Witcher 3 on the go. You know, you trade that quality in terms of visuals. It would be, I think, quite a big trade off. But that excites me. I'm a big Gears fan. I'm not going to sit on this podcast and pretend to our listeners that I'm not excited by Gears of War 5. I just like those games. No, they aren't going to win Game of the Year awards. No, they're not going to score 10 out of 10s. I just really like those games. They just feel good, and I can't pretend I'm not excited.
Some of the best moments in gaming I've ever had is being me, you and Tony playing Gears. Even the betas are just... It's so fun to play those games in a group of friends, isn't it?
Yep, and although 4 was great and the story was not great in reflection, I'm up for seeing where what they're going to do with it. Microsoft, what else would Microsoft do? I mean, you would assume a new Forza, which won't be a Horizon, it would just be a Forza, so it's like,
they'll come out with the big surprise announcement of what their console is.
I think they've got to, because let's say 2 years now they've sort of talked about cloud and stuff around it.
Yeah.
Oh, they can't call it an Xbox 2. Because they got 2 hours this year as well. Normally 90 minutes, they got 2 hours, so they must have quite a bit to get through.
Interesting.
What was the rumour? There's
I remember
a...
the, the funniest Microsoft conference I went to was when Usher came up on stage, all hyped, did his big performance, and nobody in the audience was even bobbing their heads. I think he felt so disappointed. He's like, come on, everybody, get up! And you just imagine this room full of games journalists just like, oh, what's happening here?
Wow, that's... Oh, God, I mean... Is it Usher the one that's in the advert with, like, you know, good job, Xbox, or whatever? I forget what he did. I'm sure it was him that was in there. Oh, I don't. I mean, they had The Rock up there at one point, and they were for the original Xbox. It's... I don't know.
The best ones are always Aisha Taylor at Ubisoft, aren't they?
Yep.
When she finally went, nope!
So that's another thing, like Ubisoft. So they've already announced... we talked about it a couple of weeks. Chris went to see it. Splinter Cell. Ghost Recon.
Yeah, Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell of Ghost Recon.
Yeah, I can't think what it's called.
Rage 3.
Yeah. Oh, what's it called? Breakpoint, the new Ghost Recon game. So they've already announced that ahead of E3. So it makes you wonder, Ubisoft normally have a fairly packed conference, so maybe we'll see some Beyond Good and Evil. And I would be excited to see that. The rumour is, this one, I think, if you haven't heard this one will excite you. The rumour at the moment is that Watch Dogs 3 is going to be announced. And
that is good.
And it's set in London.
Oh, nice, even better.
And there is going to be no gun combat because it's set in London. So that's kind of... I'd love to see a developer take on a game where it's like, look, there's combat, but because we're set in the UK...
Yeah.
I mean, there are guns in the UK, but it's significantly less... You know, it's more knife crime over here, isn't it, let's be honest.
Just something to make developers think about, okay, how do we address this? How do we actually give them a challenge, you know, rather than just, oh, knife.
And apparently there's so many rumours about this. It's unconfirmed, but like so much info, like it's set in the UK, I think London. Female protagonist who's kind of anti-corporation or anti... I can't even remember, but there's lots... If you Google it, there's a lot about this game doesn't exist. the other big one that, in terms of feeling about E3, that it does excite me. I'm a Final Fantasy fan, so I'm always going to be excited. But the rumor is that Final Fantasy, because obviously Square Enix are going to have their own conference, so they need some games because they haven't got a huge amount of games. So you wonder if the Avengers game will finally be properly revealed, which I'm well up for seeing. But the rumor at the moment is that Final Fantasy VII Remake will have a demo of it, and it'll be that kind of, and it's available now. And that would get me off the sofa downloading. Do you know what I mean? I know that it's not going to be the game I want it to be, but I'm still damn well going to try it. But it is...
There are a lot of Final Fantasy fanboys that would be happy with that.
But it is a funny thing at the moment, because games are in a... This is what I was talking about earlier. Games are in a really weird position, because we're in a position now where games can be hyper-realistic, but like there are people who would play Red Dead Redemption 2 and say, yeah, that's too realistic. So we're in this weird situation of... At the moment, there does seem to be a division in games of like, there's that kind of game or there's this kind of game.
And there's the new Borderlands game. Yeah,
Borderlands 3, that's out this year. Doom Eternal, it would be nice to get a release date for. Because like that last Doom game is one of my favourite shooters of all time. Bethesda have got a conference. And again, like maybe it's time... I don't know, because these people all know what the next consoles are. They know if there's a PS5, what it's called. They know the Xbox 2, and they know what they're capable of. We don't. I feel we're in a weird position because at this time last gen, I remember just being like unbearably excited about the idea of a new PlayStation and a new Xbox. And we're kind of there again at the end of the cycle. Like this year's not been great for games, and we are there again. Like,
has the generation been quicker? I feel like
a little bit.
The 360 PS3 generation was a lot longer.
So the Xbox 360 was 10-year cycle, and it hasn't been that for this console. It's not going to be far off when they eventually sort of properly say, right, we're done, because they'll keep doing them. But it just with Sony not there, it does feel weird. It feels weird E3 this year. I feel less excited than I normally do. I never stay up for Sony's conference because it's always 3 a.m. or something silly. But even Microsoft's is like 9 o'clock in the evening now, whereas it usually was about 6 o'clock. So
I think they reached a peak like 3 years ago with E3, and it's just been a downward spiral ever since. But I think it will come back.
I don't think so.
Get a new generation, it will be a big peak.
I think Sony will be back next year, or they won't, and they'll just go the Nintendo route. But I don't know.
But even Nintendo, they've always been there but not been there. They've always had it their own way, because yep. that's just what Nintendo do.
I mean, the irony being that when Nintendo first said, like, we're not going to do a conference, we're doing this thing, everyone was like, oh, wow. And now everyone else is like going, actually, that's a great idea. Because as a publisher, people, they're all going like, that's way cheaper. We just get them in a green screen room and get them to talk and then show trailers. That's way better. Mm. And it's less of a spectacle. But that said, I'm always there waiting for Nintendo's E3 Direct. Like, well, we can see, I mean, they got a Pokemon Direct. Is it next week? Where they're going to show it. Well, I think there's one today about like the future Pokemon, and there's one next week about like specifically about the new Switch game, the Sword and Shield. And they just had a Nintendo Direct about Mario Maker 2. And in a way, that's cool because it means Nintendo are like kind of saying, right, rather than last year where like the whole Direct was like Smash Brothers, Smash Brothers, Smash Brothers, this year it's like you've had your Mario Maker one, you've had your Pokemon one, so we've got loads of time now. We're going to just, I mean, hopefully they'll just bring it. Like, they've got to announce Animal Crossing and show it, I think they've got to. And that excites me because I love them games. Crossing.
It's not a real game, Adam.
It's got to be, mate, it's got to be. I don't know. In summary, how are you feeling about E3?
I'm looking forward to it. I love an E3. I can't wait. I'm not going to fall to all this negative hype on Twitter. I think, yeah, E3, bring it on. Let's see what happens. It's going to be amazing.
I feel weird about it, but I am still excited. I will still be there. There's something about Xbox's conference that does it for me, because the last year or so, they just like, it's just games. I mean, did we have a release date for the new Ori and the Will of the Wisp? Because I want that game desperately. I don't know. I just think Microsoft will show a new console or call it, you know, name it, and I think they will just show loads of games because they have to. They have to.
And that's not a bad thing.
Well, also, with Sony not there, Microsoft must be surely sitting there rubbing their hands together going, oh, we could blow people's fucking, you know, we could blow people's minds this time, you know.
Oh, of course, because the question after E3 is always who won E3, Microsoft, Sony or Nintendo. Yeah. So.
And it can't be Sony because they're not there. I don't know.
Therefore, they lose by default.
Yeah, they kind of do. There, but there you go. And that is a podcast for this week. Do send us your questions on Twitter at GodIsAGeek or podcast@godisageek.com via email, or just tweet us individually. That's fine too. Just send us your questions on Discord. If you are a Patreon supporter, you get exclusive access to a Patreon-only Discord. You do get the podcast early, you get videos early, and we give away codes. And you know, generally, you get early access to everything and a little bit of inside information.
You get spoiled.
You get spoiled, yeah. Cal, do you want to publicise your Twitter account?
No, I thought
you might say that, but I don't.
Don't follow me.
Don't follow me. I don't think that's ever been said on here. But thank you very much, Cal, because genuinely, if it weren't for Cal here, I would have just been half an hour probably talking to myself, because I'd be damned if there wasn't a podcast going up this week. But scheduling...
Mate, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It has. It's been nice to hear your voice on the God is a Geek podcast again. It's been an absolute pleasure. But Cal, I nearly said they can follow you on Twitter, but you don't want that out there.
Just follow @GodIsAGeek.
Yeah, that's
all you need
to do. Yeah. Follow @GodIsAGeek. And for everyone else, thank you very much for your questions. Thank you for listening. And we'll speak to you next week or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.
Cheers.